The first item on the agenda is advisory opinion request 2021-15 Tally Up LLC submitted by Jeremy Holtzman. We are joined today by Jeremy Holtzman and Justine Schott of Tally Up LLC, who are available to respond to questions from commissioners. Mr. Holtzman and Ms. Schott, I did see you on the camera earlier, but if you're available, feel free to come on the camera. You are welcome. Thank you for being here today with us. And we also have Theodore Lutz and Robert Knopf from OGC to discuss the matter. So, counsel, if you'd like to proceed.
Great. Thank you, Chair Broussard. Good morning, commissioners. Before you are agenda documents 21-25-A and B. There are draft responses to an advisory opinion request from Tally Up LLC. Tally Up plans to create and sell what it calls voter segments, which are lists of voters defined by customizable search criteria, such as age or zip code. The segments would include voters' names and contact information. Tally Up proposes to score its segments using the aggregated contributions of individuals in each segment, as well as the aggregated contributions of other similar individuals. Draft A concludes that, under the Act, Tally Up may not aggregate individuals' contributions as proposed because the information would be used to solicit contributions. Draft B concludes that Tally Up's proposed use of commission data would not be sufficient to generate contributions and is permissible under the Act. We received no comments on the request or the drafts. Thank you, and I'm available for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lutz. Are there any questions for Mr. Holtzman or Ms. Schott or any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Traynor.
I would like to speak to Mr. Holtzman and Ms. Schott just about their request, if I could. And I don't see them on my screen, so I don't know. Are they on?
They are on screen.
Okay, great. I guess I'll address it to you, Mr. Holtzman, as one of the founders there. You know, the application of the sales and use prohibition that we're talking about in these various drafts is very fact intensive. And I'm not sure that I have enough of the facts about what it is that you're doing at this point to be ready to make a decision, particularly with regard to draft A, which says no to everything that you're doing, because I think some of the things that you're doing may be legitimate. And draft B, I think we make some legal conclusions that are stretched based upon what you have submitted to us. And that's where I think I don't have enough information. So I would start with, could you just kind of give me your elevator pitch about what your overall product is?
Yes, definitely. So what the product does is it scores a segment of voters, and we provide our candidates a voter list that we get from publicly available data. And so they're using these lists of voters to target in their election. What we would like to do with the data here is to score our voter segment based on, you know, aggregated contributions to individual candidates historically, whether they're Democratic or Republican or not. And our method is, the way we do it is that it's all relative. So the way we score one segment compared to another is just based on the relative contributions from voters within that segment or similar voters. So we don't identify any individual voter who's made a contribution, and there's no way to back out into that information because we have some safeguards in place.
Okay. So am I correct then that your product is basically just reports and that it specifically lists the names of individuals who comprise the segment, and that's what the client purchases?
That is correct.
And so does Tally Up offer clients any like voter contact tools, or is it just the list of the names of the individuals?
We provide the list and the names of the individuals, as well as the phone numbers if they come from the voter file. So all of the data that we have on the contact information is from publicly available data that we get from either the state party or the state election division or regional election divisions.
Okay. So would you categorize it as a voter outreach tool or as a fundraising product or both?
It's primarily a data tool for our candidates to strategize on their campaign for a variety of means, including outreach. Yes.
Okay. And are the segments fully customizable by your client? Or do you have, for a lack of a more technical term, a menu of available segments for clients to choose from?
They are customizable given the fields that we have. So we allow our clients to break out voters based on geographical or demographic fields. And from there, they can segment based on the fields that we provide, but there's only so much segmentation. So it's not, they can't pick and choose individual voters to add to a segment. It's based on, aggregated fields.
Okay. And that kind of gets to my next question then, which is the voter segment score that you describe in your request is based solely on aggregated individual contributions of voters within the segment and the aggregated individual contributions of other similar voters, or are there other data points besides contribution data that's used in modeling for that score?
For that score, that is the primary field that we are using for the voter segment score.
Okay. Is the voter segment score the only score you offer to predict an individual's likely support of a particular party or particular candidate?
No. So we use historical data, geographical data to determine whether, a specific set of areas based on geography, for example, may lean Democratic or Republican.
Okay. So could a client create a segment based on a segment score rather than variables such as age? So for example, if I'm running for governor of Texas, could my campaign get a segment of registered Republicans that would be scored at 75?
That's a great question. So no, we do not. The scores are not based, the voter segment scores for contributions are not based on an individual. We provide those after our clients have created an aggregated group of voters. So once they create that aggregated group, then we score them. That way we don't allow them to pick and choose individual voters that they want to solicit to. It's only based on that group.
Okay. So am I correct that all the data you propose to use to create the segments comes from either the FEC or Secretary of State voter files
we have all of our data comes from publicly available sources. We use some census data as well, some other data from the web, from websites.
Okay. So how would you characterize the principal purpose of the use of the FEC data in your product? Like, what's your principal purpose for using it?
The first, the principal purpose is to identify voters that would support your candidate for outreach. And the biggest use, honestly, is for independent voters to determine whether they're leaning Republican or Democratic. That is the primary use. It's to understand, who makes up the voting constituency. Now, the outreach and the volunteering and the fundraising is all secondary concerns to determining, who is in, what voters live in your area and are going to be voting in your election.
Okay. Do you have a lawyer that you're working with in submitting this request? And the only reason I ask that is because I want to make sure that the commission is being consistent with previous advisory opinions that we've issued. And in looking at it, I think there are probably three advisory opinions that we've done in the past that are very similar to the question that you've asked. And I'd like to be able to delineate those responses from what it is that you're asking today. So
we do not have a lawyer that we've been working with on, to prepare for this. We were working with Theodore Lutz. He was one of the people that was helping us.
Okay. Madam Chair, if I could ask a couple of questions of counsel then.
One second. Are there any more questions that are directed towards Mr. Schatz or Holtzman? And go ahead, Commissioner Trina.
So, Mr. Lutz, would it be possible for you to delineate for me the advisory opinion 1985-16, which is the Weiss opinion. In 2004, we had an NPG opinion. And then this most recent consideration of 2021-01, the Illuminate opinion, and how those may be similar or different from this particular request.
Sure. So the Weiss opinion, I can just briefly describe some of the facts of each of these. The Weiss opinion involved a vendor who brought a pre-existing list of individual names to commission reports and then went through and cross-referenced the commission reports to the pre-existing list and then used that or could have used that to purge out, to remove the non-contributors. So you're left with maybe a reduced list of names that are confirmed donors. And presumably, if you've given before, then you are going to be more likely to give again. So Weiss did not add names into a list, but it did use contribution history of individuals from commission files to create a perhaps more valuable list. Okay. Then you have an NGP, you have a client, a compliance vendor providing to its clients the option to view by reference to commission data what other entities or persons the donors of the clients had also given to, right? So you've got basically the pre-existing names and only a certain universe of names, and then reference to commission contribution histories of who those people have given to. Okay. And then you said Illuminate. Illuminate, I'm a little less familiar with the facts on Illuminate, was not an AO approved by the commission. Right. But as I understand it, or as I recall, we had a vendor who was working with colleges and universities to help them identify various people to reach out to for various kinds of support. And I believe that they had individuals' names they had individuals' names and contact information from pre-existing sources, university sources. And then they were going to try to figure out, verify that information and then verify what the interests are potential donors based on commission reports and other sources. So these are all, there's maybe a spectrum of fact patterns in the commission's AOs, and I'm going to talk a little bit more beyond the specific AOs you spoke about. But there's a spectrum of fact patterns, right? And, or maybe a dichotomy, depending on how you want to look at it. On the one end, you have the aggregating AOs, the pure aggregating and analysis AOs, CrowdPak, PointBridge, for example. And on the other end, you have the sort of, quote, list brokering-like AOs, where I think that the far end of that would be something where individuals' names are just straight harvested, right, from commission reports. I don't have any names, but I'm going to commission reports, I'm just going to pull them. And then you have sort of a step in, perhaps, would be like Weiss or NGP, where we have our names, but we're going to make the names and the information a little more valuable, and we're going to refine it that way.
Okay.
And there's still some reference. And excuse me, I just wanted to add in here that I don't believe Mr. Holtzman intended to say this, but the communications that I was having with him were the typical sort of communications that OGC attorneys have screening pre-ORs.
Yeah, no, I understand that. You'd mentioned Point Bridge Capital, the AO there. Mm-hmm. That was mentioned in their request, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Madam Chair, if I could ask one more question to Mr. Holtzman, I would appreciate it.
Please, go ahead.
So Mr. Holtzman, y'all did mention that advisory request Point Bridge that Mr. Lutz was just talking about. And in that advisory opinion, in looking at it, the requester specifically said that they would not provide or make public any individual contributors' contact information in the marketing of index funds, I believe is what it was, and that they weren't going to use it to solicit contributions. So how is your product like the index fund that was the subject of that advisory opinion?
Sure. Good question. So it's similar in the way that we are aggregating data. So we are aggregating from voters, and we are not making any individual, identifying any individual who contributed. In terms of making sure that we are not identifying individual contributions from voters, there's no way to know from our given segments, which voters contributed. So we're not identifying in any way who gave to any elected official. And you know, there's no way to back out of that information either. So it's similar in that we're aggregating. And then the difference is, you know, we know that some of our clients may be using the segments for solicitations as well as other election purposes. But because we are not identifying the individuals that tie it to the contributions, that's why we're making this this ask today.
Okay. So, Madam Chair, if I may ask Mr. Holtzman, if my colleagues were to agree to an extension, would you be willing to give us an extension of time to answer your advisory opinion request, kind of based on some of the answers that you've given today that have kind of given me more facts? Other than voting on the two drafts that we have right now, because I don't think that either of the drafts is particularly helpful for you. And I think based upon some of the answers that you've given, that I think we could probably come up with maybe a third way that the commission could support. So if they were willing to do that, would you be willing to give us an extension of time?
Excuse me, Commissioner Traynor, I believe this one has at least, is it two more weeks? I'm going to ask OGC.
Oh, I thought it was up today. Sorry.
Mr. Lutz.
Sorry. Yeah, the deadline is May 17th.
Oh, good. Okay. Then we have time. Okay. Thank you, Mr.
No commission meetings before then, but yes.
Okay.
Excuse me, Commissioner Traynor.
That's okay. If we have a little bit of time to work on it, that's great.
I didn't want to interrupt your questioning, or if you'd like to.
I'm finished.
Okay. Are there any other commission questions? I do have one, if I could. Mr. Holtzman, you've mentioned several times that the primary or principal purpose is outreach, but there is also the secondary benefit for as a tool for solicitation.
Yes. Okay. Yes, that is correct.
And could you, but the higher the segment, that means that that's possibly the higher contributor. The example that you provided in your request gave us a difference in reflecting that a higher number would be a higher contributor. Is that correct?
Sorry, I'm not sure I'm following the question.
So I believe in your list, in the example you provided different contribution amounts. I don't have it in front of me, apologies. But and then for a higher contribution amount, the score was higher based on the two segments.
That's correct.
So I would attempt to, is that, I don't want to ask you how you create the score, because that's company secrets, but in the higher the number means a higher contributor, at least in that group of lists. And like you said, we don't know who in fact gave, but in that list, there's possibly, if I asked, or if I created a segment that had a 65 score, that these are likely to include some contributors that were higher givers or contributors.
That is also correct. The one difference is you can't like cherry pick exactly the highest contributors. We are just, but you are right. The higher score means that, you know, those voters we have, our models determined are higher contributors in general.
Okay. And as you said, it's not, you can't pick which one on that list were contributors. So, but we do have on that list, some individuals were higher contributors.
Yeah, that's true. There is one thing that we haven't discussed today, which is the component where we're scoring voters or similar voters. So what we also do is we also use like similar demographic or geographical fields to grab contribution data from voters that are similar to our groups of voters. So there's a chance that some of our scores reflecting voters that aren't actually in the segment, but are similar to the voters that are in the segment. So to give an example, if our segment is people aged 25 to 35, we may use people aged 25 to 35 in a different region, or you know, maybe we decide to widen the age range a little bit, 25 to 40, and we figure out that this group has a higher voter score. It doesn't necessarily mean that anyone in our segment actually has it. It just means that they are more prone to be to donating, to contributing to campaigns.
So a candidate could decide that based upon a higher segment score, that would be a segment to focus its efforts on, possibly for not only outreach, but solicitations.
Yes, that's correct.
And that contribution information, even though it's creates the score, is taken from FEC database.
Yep, that is correct.
Thank you. Are there any further questions? I don't want to. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's not really a question. Based on your questions, I think I'm pretty much on the same page that you're on, Madam Chair. I came in today prepared to support draft A. It seems to me that Mr. Holtzman has told us, both in his request and here today, that he's going to use FEC data and this product is going to be used for solicitation. Not exclusively for solicitation, but it will be used for solicitation. And I think that pretty much answers the question. Having said that, if my colleague, Commissioner Traynor, wants to try to come up with another path forward, I'm happy to consider that. We have more time. I'm open.
Thank you, Commissioner Weintraub. I too, Commissioner Traynor, would like the additional time to work on an additional draft. I want to make sure that we have an opportunity for all commissioners to ask any questions, because we appreciate Mr. Holtzman and Ms. Schott taking their time to be with us today. I don't see anyone raising their hand, so I do want to say thank you very much for being here today. And we do have an additional time, and this will be on the next open meeting agenda. So thank you for your time today.